Thank you for joining us today. At Cross Church, we believe people need Jesus, people need each other, people change the world, and people leave legacies. Our desire is for you to understand, accept, and grow in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Thank you for listening. If you would like to know more about Cross Church, please visit crosschurch.com.
If you got a Bible, let's grab it. Psalm 103 is where we're going to be today. We are beginning a brand new series of messages that we will walk through over the next 4 weeks, walk through this psalm, and we're calling this series, This Is Our God. You're going to see why here in just a moment. Back in April, Meredith and I were attending a pastor and a wives conference down in Miami, and we were in a room full of other pastors and their wives, and there was a worship leader leading worship that night. And in the middle of one of the songs, he stopped and he pulled out a Bible and he began to read Psalm 103. And I don't know about your life, but certain times in my own life, the word of God just hits differently. You know what I'm saying? Like sometimes you just come to church and it's like God is speaking directly to you, or the word of God, what you read in the morning, is right there in the moment of what you needed. That was me on that night. And man, God just gripped my heart in a special, special way. He didn't even give a lot of commentary or explanation. He just began to read the passage and he just read through it. And it was just a beautiful time of God ministering to my heart. And so I really believe the next 4 weeks are going to be a powerful journey together. I'm going to begin this series in a way that we don't normally begin because I think it's just a powerful way to do it. But the next 4 weeks, we're going to walk through this chapter. Today, I want to begin this series by reading the psalm in its entirety. And I think there's power when you just sit and listen to the word of God. So you can follow along in your Bible if you want. You can close your eyes and just listen, whatever you want to do. But just listen to the word of God today, and I hope it ministers to your heart, much like it did to mine. Verse 1 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel." Verse 8, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities." Here's good news for you. "For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. And as far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us." Verse 13, "As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field, for the wind passes over it and it's gone. And its place knows it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him. And his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom," listen to this, "his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, O you his angels, you mighty ones who do his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers who do his will. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul." For me on that April night, sitting listening to this psalm, it felt like I was walking through a desert and somebody handed an ice cold bottle of water to me and said, "Here, take a drink." You can see why, as I have read the whole psalm now, where you may understand a little bit more why this passage meant so much to me on that night and why I'm really hoping and praying that it means so much to you over the next 4 weeks together. And that's why we're calling it This Is Our God. Because for 22 verses, here's what the Bible says: This is our God. This is our God. This is our good God. This is what he does. This is who he is. This is what he does. This is who he is. And I hope the Lord ministers to your heart the next month together. G. Campbell Morgan once commented about this passage in this psalm. He says, it is perhaps the most perfect song of pure praise to be found in the Bible. Today, all we're going to cover is the first five verses. So we're going to kind of break down those a little bit more, and we'll do the same the following week and so on until we end. But the title of our message today is God of My Benefit. Now, as soon as I say God of My Benefit, that may irk you a little bit, and you say, well, hey, hold up. I don't know that that actually feels right to me. It feels like I'm using God, that God has certain benefits for my life. And yet, as you'll see in the Bible, this is exactly what the Bible says about God, that he is the God of our benefits. So let's look right at the top. Let's go back to the beginning, and let's look at verse 1, and I'll begin to explain it as we go through. He says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and I want you to underline this last phrase, and forget not all his benefits. You may read this passage and say, Nick, what does it mean to bless the Lord? We don't usually use that terminology, but what does it mean to bless the Lord? It essentially means this, just praise the Lord. Like give honor to the Lord, speak well of the Lord for what he has done in your life. And I would go out on a little bit of a branch here and say, this is the priority of Psalm 103. Seven times in 22 verses, we are told, bless the Lord, bless the Lord, bless the Lord. And so we are told to praise the Lord. Why? Because of all of the benefits that God has given us in our life. This is a mindset. This is a whole life, not just 12 to 15 minutes that we sing together at the beginning of the worship service, but this is all of your life. When the Bible says to bless the Lord with all that is within you, it is to say from the deepest part of who I am, I praise the Lord. I recognize the greatness of God in my life. This is a life that in view of all that God has done for you, you say, listen, because of all that you've done for me, I will live all of my life for you. Remember the old movie, Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves? I think it's the best Robin Hood ever done, by the way, besides the cartoon. That one was great. Thank you over there. Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, I saw as probably a child or teenager. It's been a long time since I've seen it, so I don't affirm everything in it. That's what you have to say when you're a pastor and you reference a movie, okay? But remember, Kevin Costner was Robin Hood in his much younger days. And you see this picture right here? And you remember Morgan Freeman was also in it? Morgan Freeman played a character by the name of Azim. And at the beginning of the movie, if you've seen it, you'll remember that they're both in prison, and yet Robin gets out, and they're all about to kill the prisoners, and Robin Hood frees Azim. So Kevin Costner frees Morgan Freeman from prison and his certain death at some point. And so Azim makes a commitment to him at the beginning of the movie that as long as you are alive and as long as I'm alive, I will live with you and be by your side until I'm able to repay you in the same way that you have paid for me. So in other words, when I get to save your life, then that will free me from the covenant that I'm making with you. Now, spoiler alert, at the very end of the movie, Morgan Freeman saves Kevin Costner's life, all right? And so he is freed from that barrier. You say, Nick, what in the world does this have to do with Psalm 103? Here's what this has to do with Psalm 103, okay? When I read this, I was reminded of the commitment that Azim makes to Robin Hood. Because you have saved my life, I will do everything in my power to live my life devoted to you. And in the same way as Psalm 103 says it, what are we to do? We are to look at, why do we bless the Lord? Why do we praise the Lord? Why do we live lives for God? Because he has saved our very lives. He has rescued us from hell. And what do? We spend the rest of our lives living for the Lord Jesus. We live a life that honors the Lord, blesses the Lord, and we do not forget. Remember what the Bible says, forget not all his benefits. So we don't have amnesia. Like we remember consistently what God has done for our lives. You know, it's interesting that we begin the worship service with singing. Some of you don't understand that. You think to yourself, Nick, we're here for the Bible. Give us the Bible. We'll take it for 60 minutes, not just 30 minutes. Like give us the whole time in the Bible, okay? And here's what I tell you. We do that intentionally. We are in the vein of Psalm 103. We begin not saying, Lord, speak to me, but here's where church is a little bit different than what you may think of. It's not just a one-way communication, but we begin the service blessing the Lord. We speak to God. We praise God for all that he has done. Some of you think we just do worship so that all the late people can get in here by the time the sermon starts. No offense if you were late today, okay? But if you miss out on the worship portion of the service, you are missing out on the Psalm 103 portion, where it's not just God, speak to me, speak to me, speak to me, but it is God, I have come to this worship service to speak to you. Amen. And to bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. He goes on and he begins to pour out the benefits. So the rest of our time, we're gonna spend on verses 3-5, these three verses, okay? Look what he says. He lays out the benefits of God in our life. Number one, he says, he who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. I'm gonna walk through what I'm just calling the five benefits of God in your life from this passage. Now, just a heads up, there are more than five benefits that God gives us in our life. These are five that are mentioned in these three verses. In fact, Psalm 103 gives us more than just five, but we're just breaking down the passage today, and there are five, okay? So number one is this. If you're a note taker, I want to encourage you to write down these five things. Number one, he forgives our iniquities. If you are unfamiliar with what the word iniquities means, it just simply means sins. So God forgives our sins. Now, I'm going to take a few moments here, and I'm going to remind us as a church a very elementary truth today of our faith. And so some of you, you may roll your eyes when I say it. Roll them back, okay? Because we need to talk about this, all right? Only God can forgive sins. Only God can forgive sins. Now, it's interesting that Psalm 103 begins here, because I would say that without that one simple truth, we do not exist as a faith. Without that one simple truth, we do not exist as a church. But because God forgives iniquities, we have a right and sure foundation as a church. And so I just want you to understand that only God can forgive your sins. This is, in fact, why God sent Jesus. Jesus came because of this sinful condition, because all of us are born into sin. The Bible calls that a sin nature. So you're born naturally doing the wrong thing. That's why you never have to teach your children to sin. They just naturally do it. Nobody ever had to teach you to sin, by the way, either. And so we just naturally go away from God. And the Bible says that that kind of life that is just bought out and sold out to sin, that is going to lead to some very painful consequences, not only in this life, but in the life to come, where we will be sent to hell for all of eternity. And God looked at all this and says, listen, I've got to provide a way for forgiveness. He sends Jesus Christ into a sinful earth who lives a perfect life, the life that you and I never could have lived on our own. And the Bible says that he took our place on the cross. So because of your sin, because of my sin, Jesus Christ got up on a cross and he died for the sins of the world. And he did all of that so that if you would ever hear the gospel, you say, what is the gospel? The gospel is just what I described to you. You're born in sin. Jesus Christ came to save you. Will you turn to him in faith? That's the gospel. And so anybody who will turn from a life lived for sin and just sold out to living for yourself, and who will turn in faith to Jesus, you can be saved. Now, if we were to go out into the streets of Northwest Arkansas today, and we were to ask just common people you work with, you go to school with, hey, how is a person made right with God? How does a person go to heaven when they die? We'd hear answers that were all over the book. But they'd say a lot of things like this. Well, you gotta be a good person. Hopefully, you gotta be a moral person. Maybe you gotta be generous with your money to a charity, to the poor, maybe to the church. You gotta be like kind to people, and then hopefully at the end, the scales have tipped where there's more good than bad, and I think that's probably how you get to heaven. That's how the majority of people in Northwest Arkansas would answer the question of how does a person get to heaven? And that's the complete opposite of what the Bible says about how a person goes to heaven. The Bible says it this way, only God can forgive your iniquities. Now, for those of you who are church people, let me remind you that every single Sunday we have people who are walking in who this is the very first time they've ever heard that out loud. The very first time. And so don't get frustrated like, okay, Nick, let's move on to number two. Okay, I'm ready to write. Write this down. The gospel is our only hope. Write that down. And you gotta recognize and remember how radical it is to hear the gospel for the very first time. That your entire life you feel like you've been on a ladder towards God trying to achieve it, and you never feel like you're close enough, and you try to be a good person, but you don't know, is that enough? And then you have somebody express the gospel to you and explain that it's not about all the good things that you do for God, but it's about the good thing that God did for you in Christ. And it's not about all these things that you could line up to try to tip the scales, but when Jesus died on the cross, he tipped the scales for all of eternity. And so it's not about doing, it's about receiving. And some of you today need to receive Christ for the very first time. You are not here by accident. You're not here listening to this bald man speak about the forgiveness that God can give you. This is on purpose that God has brought you here today for this moment that you could recognize for the very first time that you need to be forgiven of your sins, and only God can do that for you. Will you allow him to do that for you in your life today? Let me speak to those of you who are Christians who you would say, Nick, I've had the experience you're speaking about right now. I've been saved. Let me remind you, as the Bible talks about forgetting not the benefits of God, the single greatest benefit that God has ever given you in your life is the forgiveness of your sins. Let me remind you, without the forgiveness of sins, you're headed to hell. Without the forgiveness of sins, we have no hope in this life. We're just kind of wandering in life, just hoping we're doing right, and yet because of what Jesus did for us, everything's different. What's the first benefit? He forgives us all our iniquities. Here's the second thing. He heals from diseases. God heals us from diseases. Now, the Bible speaks about here both physical and psychological ailments. And this is a unique passage. And so everybody just like tune in like closely for a second. As you read more about this passage, and as you study what scholars say about this, this is a unique portion of scripture where evidently these diseases were tied to sin. Now, everybody hear me loud and clear. Not all diseases are tied to sin. If you believe that, you get in some wonky theology, and some people have this, where if you're sick, well, there must be something in your life you need to repent of. You get cancer, well, what have you done to offend God? Listen, that is not the message of the Bible. The message of Psalm 103 is speaking that evidently there are some diseases connected with some sin. Just what it is, what the Bible is speaking about here. And so when the Bible speaks about he forgives their iniquities and heals their diseases, there's a connection there. Now, here's another way to understand this passage. Some of you have known people, and you're probably thinking about them right now, who have not been healed of their diseases. Anybody know people like that? You've walked with these people, you've prayed for these people, and for whatever reason, God did not heal their disease. Let me clarify, God did not heal their disease this side of heaven, but God healed their disease that side of heaven. By the way, both are worthy of praise that God has done that. Even in their death, he frees them. But you may be reading this and you say, well, Nick, the Bible says here that God heals us of all of our diseases, but I've known people who haven't been healed, so how am I supposed to understand this passage? MacArthur is helpful here. He writes about how this is not a promise, but a testimony about what only God can do. He references Deuteronomy 32. Look at this verse. It says, see now that even I am he, and there is no God beside me. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand. So let me wade through all that, and then let me just give you the big truth of this passage for your life, okay? Anytime there is healing, God is behind that healing. Anytime there's healing take place, God is behind that healing. It's not unusual for me to pray with a person that God would heal their body. Okay, so that may even happen in the lobby after church. It's a common thing. And so as I pray with people, sometimes it's out in the lobby, sometimes it's in my office, sometimes they ask to be anointed with oil, which we do. And I'll often pray things like this: Lord, we know that you can do this supernaturally. Like in a moment, you can heal. And so God, we're trusting that you would do that. And Lord, but we also say, if you wanna use doctors, if you wanna use medicine, chemo, radiation, we trust that you're the healer in all of that. That's how I often pray about it, because I believe the big truth. Anytime there's healing, God is behind that healing. And so here's what I would tell you. If you are here today and you would say, Nick, I am sick, I have a disease, I have an illness, like that is me right now. Here's what I would encourage you to do. Turn to the healer today and pray something similar. Lord, if you want to do this supernaturally, I believe that you can heal my body supernaturally in an instant. The little boy goes, amen. I like that. There's a family in our church that over the last month had a child, heart was not working, headed for a heart transplant. We began to pray, family began to pray, baby was released this last week. Anytime there's healing, God is behind the healing, okay? Let's move on. Look at the third thing. The Bible says that he redeems our life from the pit. He redeems our life from the pit. Now, here's what the word redeem means. If you're taking notes, write these two things down. It means both rescue and protection. Rescue and protection. So if you've ever been in a moment where you think about your life and you say, man, my life is a redemption story. You look at your family background, how you grew up, and you look at where you're at now and you say, man, God has redeemed my life. It's also used in the sense of, man, God redeemed me. I could have gone into so many things, but God protected me in that way. The word for pit is another word for death as well. It's also used to describe those rock bottom moments of our life. What a beautiful picture of how God redeems our life. He rescues us from the pit. Anybody been to rock bottom in your life? Anybody ever? Anybody there right now who it took everything within you to scrape yourself out of bed and walk into church and you feel like, man, Nick, I am at the pit. I am at rock bottom today. Here's what I've learned in my own life. I have learned way more about the goodness of God that we sung about just a moment ago. I've learned way more about the goodness of God when I've walked through the worst situations in my life than when I've walked through the best. In other words, God has taught me way more in the pit than in the pinnacle. And so an appropriate prayer today, if you would say, Nick, I'm in the pit. A great prayer for you to pray is, Lord, I'm listening. What do you want to teach me? What are you trying to do in my life today? And if you're in need of redemption, would you turn to the Redeemer today? Let's talk about the last two. I love both of these so much. Number four is this: he crowns us with steadfast love and mercy. And what does this mean? The idea of crowning here speaks to the idea of giving blessings. So he blesses us with steadfast love and mercy. He crowns, it gives the idea of royalty here, that this is your identity. Now, think about this. We spent the entire summer walking through the book of Ephesians, referencing again and again and again your identity in Christ. In other words, who you really are in Christ. And here the passage again leads us to this knowledge that above all else, the main thing about your life is that you have been defined by love and mercy. Now, the world will try to identify your life by everything besides that. Maybe you've been in some kind of self-discovery process of your own identity. You've tried to find it in the friendships you have, or the family situation you have, the job that you have, the place on the football team you have, the amount of money in your bank account, whatever it may be, and you've tried to level up your identity in all of these other areas, listen very carefully to me today. What the Bible says about your life as a follower of Jesus is that out of all that could be said of you, the main thing is that your life is defined by love and mercy. Let me say it to you this way. You could actually introduce yourself like this. Be a little awkward, but this is the point of the passage, okay? Here's the way that I could explain who I am to other people. Hey, I'm Nick Floyd. Used to have hair. I was born in Texas. There you go. Okay. Yeah. You always know there's Texans in the room, okay? Because they will let you know. Was raised in Arkansas. Okay, there's more. Yeah, there we go. Probably more of y'all that. I'm married to Meredith. I have four children, spanning 16 years old down to 8. But the main thing about my life has been radically changed by the love and mercy of God. So all these other things are true about my life. And they're a big part of who I am. But the main thing is that I've been changed by the love and the mercy of Jesus Christ. And so think about this. If you're a follower of Jesus, this is the weird thing about Christianity. Am I allowed to say that as a pastor in church? This is the weird and odd thing about Christianity. Your crowning achievement as a believer is something that you did not achieve.
Amen.
So like the main thing about your life is something that you could never have done on your own. That's why we call it mercy and love and grace. So if you're here today and even the words love and mercy seem like a cold drink on a hot day in Northwest Arkansas, why don't you come to the one who crowns you like nobody else can? Look at this last one. I think this is such a great word for followers of Jesus. The Bible says he satisfies us with good so that our youth is renewed. He satisfies us with good so that our youth is renewed. What does this mean? It means this, that the Lord has abundantly cared for you. Is that anybody else's story besides the preacher today? That as you look back across the story of your life, the span of your life, God has abundantly cared for you. One author wrote it this way, that he does not care for us meagerly, but lavishly. We have been lavishly provided for with satisfaction so that our youth is renewed. Look at the connection here. We are satisfied with good. By the way, only God can do that. Only God can bring satisfaction in your life. And what is the result? Our youth is renewed. What in the world does that mean? Does that mean you shave off 20 years? Does that mean your arthritis goes away? Does that mean some of us grow hair again? You know, what does this mean? Is this some kind of weird de-aging thing here in the Bible? It's not that. Here's what the Bible is speaking about, in my opinion. I believe the Bible is speaking here about something that only God can give you in your life. Only God can do what this passage says he can do. That he satisfies us with good so that our youth is renewed. Only God can take a stressed out, exhausted, overwhelmed, burdened human and renew your life. In a moment. Like nobody else can do that. Think about it this way. Look at the word renew. Renew. God not only makes us new at the new birth, at salvation, But I believe the passage here is speaking about God can make you feel new continually. Like again and again and again, he can renew your life. He can renew your strength so that you feel like you're a young man or a young woman again. Let me give you this picture. Think about the best vacation you've ever had. I'm talking about the best vacation that had the best location, the best food, the best people that surrounded you, to where you drove away or you flew away from that vacation. You thought, man, whew, I am renewed. I am refreshed. I am ready to go back in for the next season of our family, for the next season of our career. Like, I'm so renewed. Some of you are like, Nick, I have never had what you speak about right there, okay? We say in the Floyd family, there are vacations and then there are trips, okay? Sometimes you go on trips with the family. That's when you need a vacation from the vacation, right? But just go with me here for a second. Imagine a world where you are in the perfect location. Where would that be for you? For me, it's the beach. Love to be on the beach. Imagine the perfect food. I would rotate seafood one night, Mexican food the next night. Seafood the next night, Mexican the next night, okay? And I just go back and forth at the beach. I can imagine great friends and great family members that would just be a renewing source of strength in our life. And I can imagine a vacation like that where I come back renewed to be the husband I need to be for Meredith, to be the father I need to be for my four kids, to be the pastor that you need for this church, and just come back refreshed and renewed. And here's the fantastic, wonderful news of Psalm 103. That's exactly what is available to you in the Lord Jesus. I'm looking into the eyes of some worn out people. Some of y'all are dodging me like, I'm not looking at me. Stressed out, overworked, overburdened, carrying the weight of the world. And the thing that I would tell you is, how many of us ever stop and ask the Lord to renew us? The truth about life is that you're going to have long stretches of life that are hard. Isn't that an encouraging word today at church? Long stretches. Some of you will face things in your health this year. We always want to know the future, right? I think one of the main reasons God doesn't lay out the full picture for us often is because we could not handle the full picture. God gives grace in the moment for what you need it. I wonder how many Christians who say, Nick, I'm a Christian, like I'm saved. I could tell you when, I could tell you how it happened. But gosh, man, I just need a fresh touch of God in my life. Psalm 103, available to you and me. I wonder how many of you followers of Jesus just need to let your face hit the altar today. How many of you need to get on your knees before the Lord, just say, God, I need strength. I need help. The human heart will always bend towards self-sufficiency. And here's what I tell you, self-sufficiency is an absolute killer in your spiritual life. Some of you, the greatest thing that you could do today is to run to a place of dependency, to run to a place of, God, I am not where I need to be, or life's just hard right now. It's okay to tell God life's hard. Life's really hard right now. Things in our family are really hard right now. The career's about to choke me out. Like I'm dying right now. And God, I need your renewing power in my life. Only God can do that. How many Christians need to come and just lean into the renewing power of the Spirit of God today? Forget not that benefit, that God stands ready to renew you, to give you strength for what you're walking through, to give you some help. How about some hope? Anybody need hope today? Available in the renewing Spirit of God for your life. I wonder how many of you are the people that I spoke about earlier, that maybe for the very first time in your life, you have heard the path to heaven expressed as how the Bible has expressed it today. I wonder how many of you have been on an endless search for truth, an endless ladder towards heaven that you're trying to do right, you're trying to do what God wants you to do, but you've left hopeless time after time after time. You don't know what is right. And yet today you've walked into church and you have heard a passage that has described how only God can forgive your sin. In other words, you could never be good enough. You could never do enough good things for God. But the glory of the gospel is this: God did it all. He sent his only son, died on your behalf, resurrected him from the grave. And here's what God does now. He calls people out. He calls them out. Today, if you're feeling like somebody is doing this to you, like you're drawn to respond to what I'm saying right now, like you feel like you're in a desert and what I'm saying right now is a cold drink for you, here's what I would tell you. The Spirit of God is calling you to be saved. So today, for the very first time, would you let God forgive you of all of your iniquities? Would you find life in Christ like you have never imagined? I'm gonna give you that opportunity today. Would you bow your head and close your eyes? I'm gonna close in a little bit of a different way today. We do it this way a few times a year, but just felt led with where we're at today to give you an opportunity to receive Christ right there in your seat, right where you sit today. If all that you've heard today sounds like something you want to commit to, if you'd be bold enough to admit and humble enough to admit, you know what, I've lived for myself and I've lived for sin, and today I know that I need to give my life to Christ. I need to turn away from that. I want you to know that you're surrounded by a lot of people who've done that. Not everybody in this room, but there's a lot of people in this room who they've had the moment that you're having right now. And in that moment, they submitted to what God was doing. And they repented of their life of sin. And they turned in faith to Jesus. I want to invite you to do that today. If that's the cry of your heart, I want you to just pray this in your heart. God can hear you. Just say something like this: Jesus, today, I turn to you. I've lived my life for myself. I've lived my life for sin. And today I repent of that life. Today I put my trust in you and what you've done for me on the cross. Would you forgive my iniquities? In the best way that I know how, just tell this to God: I give my life to you. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I gave the first service the opportunity to do this, just like I did at Springdale this morning. But if you would say, Nick, I just prayed to receive Christ, just me looking today, would you just raise your hand all over this room? If that was you, Nick, I'm gonna just look around. You wave at me if I don't see you. Nick, that was me today. I gave my life to Christ. I'm gonna ask our staff to come to the front of each aisle today. These are the men and women of our team here at Cross Church. And what I'm gonna invite you to do is that if you just gave your life to Jesus, I'm going to invite you to make that public just by going and telling one of these people. All you got to say is this: I just prayed with Nick to receive Christ. Don't know exactly what to do. You may say, Nick, that's a bold thing for me to have to stand up in the midst of all these people and to walk forward and to take their hand and tell somebody I just gave my life to Jesus. It's a big step. It's a bold step. But if you will not stand in here with the group that is going to surround you with love, how will you ever stand out there in the world? So I want to invite you, as soon as we stand and sing in just a moment, if that was you and you gave your life to Christ, you stand and you come and you make your way and tell one of these men or women what God's done in your life today. Those of you who I spoke about earlier, those of you who are Christians, who, man, you're just overwhelmed with life. Maybe you're just walking through a hard season. And the best thing that you could do for your life today is to just hit your knees at this altar and ask the renewer to give you strength for what you're walking through. Would you do that today? If you'd like somebody to pray with you about anything going on in your life, our staff's here to pray with you as well. But why don't you take a step right now and you lean into what God wants to do in your life right now. Lord Jesus, you've been so good to us. You've been so faithful to us. We build our lives upon you right now. Move people towards you, whatever that looks like. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
If you have questions about what you have heard or would like more information about your relationship with Jesus, please email us at info@crosschurch.com or visit our website at crosschurch.com. At Cross Church, our mission is to reach Northwest Arkansas, America, and the world for Jesus Christ.